So on then to the second president of the counterculture era, and that's Lyndon B. Johnson. And I think I've shared this with a few of you. The word's kind of out there anyway from past A. Bush classes. This is my favorite guy. One of my five favorite presidents, and then my absolute favorite. And, you know, I've told you I'm a fan of Alexander Hamilton. I'm a fan of George Custer. But I've told you with both of those guys, I mean, far from perfect. Absolutely. And I'm not going to go there with Johnson either. There's I like what he had to offer, but certainly there's some, you know, things that, you know, we just kind of wish were different. All right. So he is described, now this one I created all by myself. He's from Texas, and he was, yeah, so Kennedy's vice president. A Texas-sized SOB, he could be, like Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, but also with a 10-gallon heart. I mean, he had a huge heart that showed through on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. And so, like with Custer, he was a tough personality, no doubt about it. So if you read biography of Johnson, and you came to me and said, you know what, that guy is pretty hard to handle. Yeah, I couldn't argue with you. But if you came to me and said, yeah, I can see how this guy deserves admiration, you know, again, I couldn't argue with you. So, you know, it can go either way. All right, he was generous and loyal, but certainly egocentric, very crafty, politically crafty. He was, of all of our presidents, perhaps the greatest in the art of politics. Lincoln was pretty darn good. Johnson had a real knack. I think there's a photograph in Garrity or Brinkley, if there isn't, it's popular. Johnson had a way of getting what he wanted in politics. I have a story about that, but I have to back it up with some statistics that, of course, I can't remember the numbers. So I'll try to dig that out and backtrack a little bit and share that with you. It's a very good story about how Johnson perhaps won his very first political position in the state of Texas. All right, so I'll try to remember to dig those numbers out. Seems like I have to do that every year. Wish I would have thought ahead a little bit. And then the other thing about Johnson in terms of politics. So this is where I was going when I saw the photograph that is very common. So there could be a situation where Johnson, the president, needs support for a certain measure, needs support from, you know, Senate, and he anticipates that it's going to be a close vote, and so he'd send out the memo to a couple senators, you know, come see me. And so here, waiting outside the Oval Office, are these two senators. We'll say one from Mississippi. And we'll say one from Rhode Island. All right. And so senator from Rhode Island comes in first. Senator, you know, glad. And you got to understand that Johnson had a clear Southern accent. Yeah. So you know, Senator, appreciate y'all taking the time to come see me in the Oval Office. You know, I've never been to Rhode Island, but I've heard so many good things about Rhode Island. It's a great state, Senator. And you know, I love my home state of Texas, but I've heard such great things about Rhode Island, and I can just see in the next 4 years, I can see a lot of good things happening for your home state of Rhode Island. With your support on this bill, I think the future for Rhode Island is is very bright. And so, you know, so the senator, he just has that knack of making this senator from Rhode Island feel like his best friend. I mean, like right now, we're forming a friendship that is going to be wonderful. And so that senator from Rhode Island walks out of the Oval Office and he's made the decision, yeah, you know what, I am going to vote for this bill. I am going to support the president. All right, and then it's the senator from Mississippi. It's his turn, you know. And so in comes the senator from Mississippi. Well, Johnson's not right there to welcome him. Johnson's positioned himself behind his desk. And so in comes the senator from Mississippi and, you know, Mr. President, and then Johnson behind his desk might be, you know, shut the door, senator. And then one of these as he stands up. I understand that I do not have your support on this bill. Let me tell you something, Senator. If you expect that Mississippi might not even survive statehood over the next 4 years if I don't get your support, if you think that anything good is coming Mississippi's way, and at the whole time he's getting closer and closer and closer and backing him strategically, this isn't a very good example, but he can't go any further. The senator from Mississippi can't go any further. Johnson can go further, and he's right, and it's like this. And so there's a picture, that's the photograph I'm talking about. I don't know if it's a senator from Mississippi, but yeah, and so there he is. Very intimidating. And so this guy, the senator from Mississippi, leaves the Oval Office scared to vote, you know, politically scared to cross Johnson. And so Johnson has persuaded support by, you know, approaching it from two vastly different directions. Johnson was a master at that sort of stuff. Yeah. All right. He could turn it on and turn it off. He was very crude. There's stories about they're not hard to find, and I'm not going to, you know, go into any of that stuff, but, I mean, you know, just crude guy stuff, you know, that as president, I mean, it's just, he just does it, and, yeah, so there we go. And he was kind of, he's a Texan, so a couple other stories about him. So he would every once in a while, he'd have barbecues, Texas barbecues, you know, you kill the steer and all that on the White House roof and invite his guests there. And then, now this picture's on the website. I can get there real quick, I think. Why is that? Okay.
I don't
Okay, here it is. So, you can read this down here, you know, if you want to later on. I'm just telling you this. So, in the 1960s, there used to be this amphibious car. I remember seeing them. There's a couple in Rapid City. And it was just like a little car. It looked kind of weird, but you could just go from the road right into Canyon Lake. And so there we are. So this is Johnson, and this is his wife, and then this is some visitor to his ranch in Johnson City, Texas. And so one of his favorite things to do was to drive guests around in the car. And so around the ranch and showing them, you know. And then there was apparently kind of a steep slope into this lake. And at about the right time, he'd start down this road, and then he'd pretend like the brakes had gone out. And he'd just go nuts. He'd say, I can't get this thing stopped. Well, of course, Lady Bird, his wife, knew what was going on, but the visitors wouldn't. And so he'd just plunge right into the lake, but, you know, he's in this amphibious car, and you know, everything was... That's so awesome. he was a practical joker. And, oh, yeah, it says right there, he's a practical joker as well. So, yeah. So, anyway. All right, so that's Johnson. I like the guy. Okay. So, here's what made Johnson... here's what gets him the place he has in my heart. It's the Great Society. The Great Society was his domestic package. So we just did it. New Frontier for Kennedy and the Fair Deal of Truman and so forth. Greatest legislative output since FDR's New Deal. That's quite a statement. And that's not a subjective statement. I mean, every historian will agree with that. The Great Society addressed every domestic issue imaginable. So, healthcare, education, and just figure something out that's a domestic issue, and someplace the Great Society addressed it. I mean, I've got a list right there. Now, this doesn't mean necessarily, oh, and then after my list of 8 or 10, I have more. This doesn't mean that it was all addressed in an enormous and overnight success fashion, necessarily, but nevertheless, it was addressed. And that was the Great Society of Johnson, created the Department of Housing and Urban Development, and it was headed, that's inner city, right? It's headed by Robert Weaver, who was the first black cabinet member in U.S. history. So Johnson makes progress, and this includes civil rights, where Kennedy did not. And some historians are hesitant to give Johnson a lot of credit for this because, well, Johnson, you accomplished a lot of that on the coattails of Kennedy. I've got it right there. Johnson was aided by the emotion of that followed JFK's assassination. That, you know, that's public as well as political. But so what? I mean, Johnson used it to accomplish something wonderful, whereas JFK could not, at least to that point. We don't know what would have happened had JFK stayed in office. Oh, incidentally, Kennedy and Johnson didn't like each other at all. All right. An important member of the JFK administration, we did this with the Cuban Missile Crisis, was his brother, younger brother Robert, and Robert especially despised Johnson. Let's see. So, results from the Great Society. Some strong positive results there. It was undermined. That's the high point of the Johnson administration. And as I said, Johnson, you know, he as a college student, he had an occasion. He had a degree in teaching, and he had an occasion to be employed, or maybe it was just volunteer, at a school in New Mexico. And it was a lower socioeconomic class. He took his own money as a college student. And yeah, there's some wealth there, that's, yeah. But took his own money as a college student and bought playground equipment for the kids at this New Mexico school. Yeah, so that's why I say 10-gallon heart. So the high point was the Great Society. Hard to find fault with that. Then the downside, of course, is the Vietnam conflict. Johnson absolutely botched the Vietnam conflict. He's heavily criticized for that, and you know, I think justifiably. But he agonized about it. And even after the conflict, I might repeat this when we talk about Vietnam, even after it's said and done, it undermined him politically. Johnson does not run for re-election in 1968. Oh, I've got it right down there. He is politically deflated by the Vietnam chaos, quagmire, that he helped, that he essentially created himself. It's the first time. Johnson did not know political defeat until then. And I'm, in terms of elections, and in terms of, he was the Senate majority leader prior to becoming vice president in 1960. He did not know defeat. And so you can just know that, you know, with each day as a politician, I mean, he's just, feeling more and more invincible. In fact, the fact he did not get the presidential nomination in 1960, and that was a little bit of a blow to his ego, but he had plans. All right. But now, to not, for him to not run for re-election, would have, if somebody would have said in 1964, when he was elected on his own, I got crystal ball, and guess what, LBJ, you're not going to run for re-election in 68. You're not going to run for re-election because you are going to be politically deflated by then. You don't think you're going to win in 1968. He would not have believed that for a minute. Well, that's exactly what happens because of Vietnam and because of the counterculture era. There's not a lot of hippies who like Lyndon Johnson. Yeah. Okay, but we'll get into that later when we do Vietnam. So the Vietnam conflict undermines his Great Society, and there's an expression with that, bread and butter. Johnson claimed, I've said it a couple of times, even once today, that there's that ongoing political debate. Where are we going to spend our money? Or are we going to spend it on the Cold War, on weapons? Or are we going to spend it here at home, where we could use it, you know, internally? Johnson claimed we can do both. And that was his, that he referred to that as bread and bread and butter. We can do both. What else do I want to say about that? So, okay. Let's do. So this is where I said it gets a little messy, but you know, we've had a couple of these along the way, and there's just no other way to do it. So let's. This would be a good time for a break, and for a couple minutes, and then when we come back, we're going to do this Vietnam conflict segment. Okay. All right. So how about back at 20 after? Okay.